Yashoda nana na bacha jana ranjana. Yashoda nana na bacha jana ranjana. Jamuna tiravana chari. Jamuna tiravana chari. Jayaratta madhava kunda pihari. Gopi janna balava girvardari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Channa Palaka Giri Vardani Yashoda Nanana Vraja Janna Ranjana Yashoda nanana Vraja Janna Ranjana Jamuna Tiravanna Chari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Radhe Sham, Jaya Radhe Sham. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Gauranita, Jaya Gauranita. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're on in chapter 18, King Yayati regains his youth. Text 23. Yayati anabhibhretam. Yayati anabhibhretam. Daivopahritam atmanah. Daivopahritam atmanah. Manastu tadgatam buddhva. Manastu tadgatam buddhva. Patijagrahatat vachah. Patijagraha tad vachaha. Yayatiyana bipretam. Daivopahritam atmanaha. Manastu tadgatam bhutva. Patijagraha tad vachaha. Yayatihi, King Yayati, anabhipretam, not liked, daiva upahritam, brought about by providential arrangements, atmanaha, his personal interest, mana, mind, two, however, tatgatam, being attracted to her, buddhva, by such intelligence, patijagraha, accepted, tat vachaha, the words of Devayani. Translation, purport, by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, because such a marriage is not sanctioned by regular scriptures, King Yayati did not like it, but because it was arranged by providence, and because he was attracted by Devayani's beauty, he accepted her request. According to the Vedic system, the parents would consider the horoscopes of the boy and girl who are to be married. If according to astrological calculations the boy and girl were compatible in every respect, the match was called yotaka, and the marriage would be accepted. Even 50 years ago, this system was current in Hindu society. Regardless of the affluence of the boy or the personal beauty of the girl, without this astrological compatibility, the marriage would not take place. A person is born in one of three categories known as Devagana, Manushagana, and Rakshasagana. In different parts of the universe, there are demigods and demons. And in human society also, some people resemble demigods where others resemble demons. If according to astrological calculations there was conflict between a godly and a demoniac nature, the marriage would not take place. Similarly, there were calculations of pratiloma and anuloma. The central idea is that if the boy and girl were on an equal level, the marriage would be happy, whereas inequality would lead to unhappiness. Because care is no longer taken in marriage, we now find many divorces. Indeed, divorce has now become a common affair, although formerly one's marriage would continue lifelong. And the affection between husband and wife was so great that the wife would voluntarily die when her husband died, or would remain a faithful widow throughout her entire life. Now, of course, this is no longer possible, for human society has fallen to the level of animal society. Marriage now takes place simply by agreement. Dampatye Bilchir Hetu, Bhagavatam 12:2-3. The word abiruchi means agreement. If the boy and girl simply agree to marry, the marriage takes place. But when the Vedic system is not rigidly observed, marriage frequently ends in divorce. Touchy subject, not my favorite to talk of. I'm afraid the Prabhupada can say something without being opinionated. Anyway, these are all good instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. To ensure that we can have a very happy family and, in turn, a happy society, a peaceful nation even. Prabhupada said that with our good examples, we can affect the whole nation. I was just overhearing somewhere in the air that Papa was talking about how if the United States, America, could become Krishna conscious and the whole world would follow our example. So these are very good instructions. And here for the last week or so, we've been getting a lot of marriage instructions. And this one in particular is about compatibility. And elsewhere in the Vedas, we can remember lots of stories about different kinds of marriages. I always liked the kidnapping kind. Those are really exciting. But they were bona fide. In certain Kshatriya categories, you're allowed to go and snap up your favorite girl and run off with him on the back of a horse and the whole thing. And then there's also the arranged marriage of the parents. And then there is also the other kind where you, I guess in higher classes, probably the kingly type, they would have, you know, you'd have to fight for your wife. And they would have different challenges, and whoever would win, then they would actually take the blood of the opponent and put it in their hair. I was there when Prabhupada was speaking on in Los Angeles, and he was saying, so, are you ready to do that? And I was like, sure, yeah. that's where the red thing came from. It was actually the blood. I can't imagine what the girl was thinking. Anyway, so this was also another type of marriage. Here there's a little bit of a discrepancy in what's going on here, and the king is a little uneasy with it. Because it is not of like caste. But they're both partners are saying, oh, it must be providence. It must be some divine interaction, because otherwise, me being in a well naked, this man coming, and it's got to be something to it. And plus, it says here that he was a little attracted to her. So anyway, he accepts the situation, and we'll find out what comes of that. But in this purport, Srila Prabhupada's choosing to speak on some different helpful ways that one can find a compatible partner, and he's talking about astrology. I know that when we were, he gives credit to it, actually. He says that it can be very helpful, that it's a bona fide way, although he said it's very hard now to find a really good astrologer, you know, because these were, you know, super duper Vedic astrologers, you know, and passed down, you know, the art of this in India for such a long time. They're very, very qualified. And, but we can see here that, that, and I know in our ashram, Lakshmana kind of had to play matchmaker sometimes, and we would get, you know, some requests from different parents and everything. And Lakshmani would use some astrologers to actually, you know, see what the charts looked like so that she could give some kind of advice or help in that regard. And some of them were actually helpful and came out pretty good. So I don't know the casualty end of it, but anyway, there was some good out of it, and it did help. So Prabhupada, you know, he didn't disregard that. He was actually kind of proud of his arranged marriage. I know that, and I'm sure his parents had some astrology done in that matter. And it really didn't matter, like it says here, at that time, it didn't matter what the girl looked like. Actually, he didn't really like it, but he accepted that arrangement. And we can see that in the history of our movement, we tried some arranged marriages for our first children, and that was a complete disaster. It was a pretty bad scene. And then, of course, and then there were some of us had arranged marriages, and I don't know what the casualty rate there is. Anybody in this room had arranged marriage that is still married? Really? Very good. Very good. All glories to those personalities that accepted that arrangement and actually are still continuing for the long haul. I'm sure they're getting lots of brownie points for that by Srila Prabhupada. But we can see that in the very beginning, there was a big crisis on hand. Srila Prabhupada came and was starting to preach, and so many people were coming, and these couples were coming that were not living in the proper way. They were just living together illegally, illicitly living together, but he wanted them to, you know, participate in devotional service, so he urgently had to do something to kind of clean up the situation. So he actually married these couples personally, right there with fire, jugga, and everything, gave him their blessings, sanctioned many marriages in that way, so that he could utilize that situation in Krishna's service. But he didn't have time, you know, to do astrological things like that and everything. He just had to kind of ship-shape things and keep the movement rolling. So this was going on. And there was some success in that, as we see even in this room, some success. But then, as time grew on, and as Papa mentions here, Kali Yuga is rolling full speed ahead, then some of the marriages didn't kind of work out so well. And after a while, he got very discouraged, and he says, okay, I'm not doing any more marriages here. Temple presidents, I delegate that great duty to you. And he, but he gave some good advice to the temple presidents, and he said, the most important thing he said, I read a couple of letters, and because they were being requested, some people were being requested to be married, and Prabhupada's main point was to them, was please let them know that this is very serious, that actually marriage is so serious. This vow should not be made a farce, he said. He said it, I don't know how many times. Don't make it a farce, this marriage. So this he tried to instill upon us. And here he's also saying that you know, marriage is very, very important thing for our movement. On a whole scale, and a long time ago, that, you know, like it was saying here, that there were arranged marriages taken very seriously, and it was a great event tons of money was spent on these things, days and days of preparation. All kinds of relatives were involved because this vow was made very heavy because of the importance in the society. And as it's saying here, there was no question of divorce. They didn't even have a word in their vocabulary for such a thing. So this was encouraged by Srila Prabhupada too. He actually said there should be no divorce. Prabhupada's instructions. The seriousness of it must be maintained. Not that we become too loose in that regards. We could even update this statement by Prabhupada about, you know, how nowadays, because of the downslide of the Kali Yuga, they, you know, make some agreement, you know, maybe a signed agreement. Yes, you know, we're kind of married, you know. But now, they just live together, you know. That's it. There's no real, even verbal agreement or anything. It's just a convenient thing to do. And how disappointed Srila Prabhupada would be to see that where he started from, he had to clean up the mess. Now, even in our society, it has gone back down and accepted that, sure, we can just live together. It's all right. So how disappointing that we've gone full circle now back to where we were. So we have some cleanup work to do because we don't want to iron in this kind of a standard for Srila Prabhupada into this movement, that now we can accept that, yes, our kids are living together. You know, they want to know each other better. They don't want to, you know, you got to know the person really well, so you got to live with them illicitly for 10 years, and maybe you'll get married. You know? You can just see that it's too loose, it's too light, because they're thinking, well, the chances are anyway, you know, we probably won't make it together anyway, so this way it's better to have it light. You didn't waste all that money, see? So, pretty lousy excuses. Not up to the standard of the Bhagavatam, not up to the standard of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada insisted that we get duly married, and this is should be the only acceptable standard in our movement. The bottom instruction of all of our Krishna consciousness actually is, you know, accept what's favorable for devotional service. It's not to accept what's my favor, what's convenient, but it's to accept what's acceptable by Srila Prabhupada. And this living together is not acceptable in any regards and should be not encouraged. So we have some house cleaning to do, and because it's said that purity is a force. If we want our movement to really expand and to increase and to have effect on the whole world, then we have to be pure in all regards, especially household life, because all of us sitting in this room practically are householders, are going to be householders. Over 90% of the whole movement is householders, and this is the core of our movement. This is where the strength really has to be, where the purity and the force has to be. So we have to make sure that the householders are happily married and that they're peaceful. And then the children can also be very peaceful. Otherwise, as we see, without a happy couple, the children are not going to be happy and peaceful, for sure. At one time in our ashram, we had, I think, 16 girls, and we kind of looked at them one day and we said, how many of them have their original two parents? And there were only two girls out of 16 that had their original two parents still married. Pretty sad. And it reflects on the children immensely. That's why we kind of looked at it, because it was a kind of turmoil at that point in the ashram. And so that's a reflection of what can happen to our society. But on the other side, when we find two persons coming together in Krishna consciousness that do it right, that actually get parents' consent, to get helpful guidance by senior devotees, that get the proper chaperone and do service together, and just do it right, what's acceptable, then how glorious it is. You know, and they have a big, big celebration, and so many people come and give their blessings. The blessings just flow. It becomes so auspicious for the whole movement. And everyone wants to support them, everyone. And you know that they're getting the support of Srila Prabhupada in that regard. So we can pray that, you know, we get more and more strong couples to push forward this movement and to contribute internally a peacefulness within our society, and ultimately the peacefulness of the greater society. Srila Prabhupada did say a comment on astrology. He said that this material calculation, he said it was material calculation. He said it can be very helpful, but then he said in regards to my devotees, he said they are transcendental. So Prabhupada expected us to to be transcendental. To be quality devotees. That's the main thing. That's the success of any marriage, no matter Patiloma, Anuloma, whatever. The success of a marriage is our Krishna consciousness, on being first class devotees. And it's a long haul. Marriage is, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years sometimes, living together. And it's not easy. It can be a great shelter. I was just looking at a poem of Shuddha Bhakata by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and in one line of the song, he says that I see my house. He had a very big household, 10 kids or something. I see my house turn into Goloka Vrindavan whenever I see devotional service going on. So with the mentality of devotion and of sincere service to the Lord, then, yes, we can become totally transcendental. Our homes can become Vaikuntha. Our society can become the spiritual world. So, of course, that means that we have to have very strong sadhana. We have to actually take seriously chanting the holy name. This morning we had a very, very deep reading of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I have his realizations of the holy name. It was just like, you know, amazing to hear. It was just like you couldn't even absorb it all. But his realizations when chanting the holy name, of what it's really like to chant the holy name. So that is the quality that we should hanker for in our chanting. That means sadhana. It means practice. Every single householder should somehow or other have some kind of regularity in their sadhana, no matter what time of day or whatever, but it should be there, because that is the strength. And of course, household life also demands, you know, such qualities as tolerance and patience with each other, developing cooperation between each other. And this is so important. We can't become, party poopers. We have to keep, you know, trying to cooperate and not slack off. Otherwise, the focus of our Krishna consciousness will slowly, you know, be delineated to this side or that side, more important things. And then very, very good chances our Maya will enter, and, the disappointments will come, and then you'll go away, and then the children get hurt, and the whole nine yards of this whole divorce program. So our Krishna consciousness is our source of strength, and it's the only thing that really holds ourselves together and our community at large together. So Prabhupada has also given some other advice to help in that regards, and he actually said that our farm communities. He recommended that householders live on farm communities. Why? Because it's where we can actually have our own standard more or less contained, and a little away from the mainstream Kali Yuga standards. That way we can more concentrate and participate in a more cooperative way, encouraging each other to keep our standards. I know that when we were in State College, we were right next to the college. We had the ashram. And it was probably the hardest time we ever had because they were always seeing the standard of the college students. They, like, lived next door. They were there, everywhere. And they just started, like, adopting that standard, that mentality. And they were so agitated. And they couldn't think about, you know, chastity and all the different standards that we were trying to implore. So this situation of a nice spiritual farm community away from the mainstream is such an advantage. We really should try to figure out how we can do that more so that the households can be more peaceful and they can not have such competition. There's too much competition out there. It's a struggle for ourselves and for, you know, especially teenagers and people like that. So we should figure out how to do that, arrange that we keep our keep ourselves in greater numbers, there's strength in numbers, closely knit. And even in like a self-sufficient community, which Prabhupada really wants us to have, then there's more families all working together and trading together. You get to know each other better. You don't have to live together. You can just live in a community together, and surely you'll find a partner. And you don't have to go on date.com or Dateline, whatever, I don't know what it is, and try to find someone on other part of the universe and figure it out if you're going to like them through a letter here or a letter there. Pretty crazy. You know, what's the chances of it staying together? So if we have our own communities and everyone's working together, most likely you'll know the person and you know the families, and there'll be nice sanctioning going on. So I know ISKCON now has set up some also helpful things. There's some very nice counseling and seminars in regards to marriage, trying to help each other choose the right partner and to maintain the right partner. So we can be very thankful those advanced devotees that give that that advice. I know we had a seminar in our back place over there. Many people came, and I think they benefited from it. I think it was a good thing. I wasn't there for much of it. I kind of heard some of it, and seemed like it was real tangible, doable advice. So we should take advantage of those kind of things. And if you can find a good astrologer, then that is also, as it is here in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is saying that was a very good proposal, and the possibilities of staying together and being happy would be ensured. So maybe someone else, this is a big topic, sticky topic. Yes, Madame Mohan. The natures, yeah, different natures.
To me, that's where it kind of boils down to in devotional service, that if one has a standard that's different than the other standard, as far as devotees go, then that's where you're going to run into your conflicts. And when we also see, you know, marriage, I think it's mostly the karmakanda section. Because it deals, as you're saying, astrology deals mm-hmm. with the body, when it was born, and the bodily, whole bodily nature. And we see many examples of devotees that are advanced in Krishna consciousness, that even though the marriage was maybe the paper element, everybody goes on fine, you know, regardless. I think there's a couple in this room right here. The husband is thousands of miles away. But yet, because of the nature of devotional service, so, I don't know, I could get in trouble for this, but I was thinking that when they say a happy, peaceful marriage, if that's an oxymoron or not, you know, I thought I'd get it. But anyway, the idea is that in this world, everything has its utility in Krishna consciousness. So that whole idea of just trying to be, you know, I remember a couple of times when Prabhupada would talk about peace, and he would say it in a particular way that was wasn't with the standard connect connotation on what peace is. You know, devotees aren't particularly interested in peace; they're interested in spreading Krishna consciousness. And many times, we do things that are a little bit controversial in that regard, but everybody does what they want to do. So anyway, that's one point. It's just, it seems to me that it's the nature when it talks about how much different people want to advance. If you have two sincere people that want to advance, it seems like they, and on the same level of renunciation, that they can undergo any kind of inconveniences due to their nature. What do you think?
Yes. Yes,
very efficient. Very sensitive subject, but interesting. You earlier said that sometimes there are couples that stay together for 8-9 years without getting married, and this is not accepted in, you know, this is not our philosophy. The senior devotees especially should speak out about this, especially the older devotees, you know what I mean? Because, you know, that would seem to be the norm for the younger devotees, and they would want to partner themselves with that. But that's not what Srila Prabhupada wants, or that's not nowhere in the in our philosophy. So just, that's animal life, actually. See?
That's
yes.
What it says here. How about this side of the room over here? Come on, help out, ladies. Some success tips by our arranged marriage ladies over here. Come on.
I was thinking, it always comes down to example. You know, if our society doesn't have good examples, it's hard to preach to our children. And marriage, you know, it's not just here; it's all over the world. Kali Yuga. You're constantly saying that, you know, the couples are living together, the young children, the children, it's almost, you know, they don't listen, they'll probably do it anyway. So then they start, start looking at the example of the older devotees and said, you know, what examples do we have to follow? So like you said, purity is the force. Unless we're pure, you know, we have pure Krishna consciousness, it'll be hard to preach. And it seems like the first thing is to get Krishna consciousness and focus, and then the other things seem like they're falling place. Otherwise, it's just trying to adjust the material situation.
Question from our young
generation. I actually have a remark to make.
Good.
I just want to say that Akuti Prabhu doesn't like to open up her mouth very much. Everyone sees her working really, really hard. But I just want to say how much I really appreciate it when sometimes you sit down and tell us your thoughts and share with us what you experienced with Srila Prabhupada once with his movement. So I wish you would do that more, actually. So we should make her give class even though she hates to give class.
Anyway, this is what Prabhupada's saying.
But also, I just, as far as astrology, I've heard mixed things. I've heard my Guru Maharaj once said that astrology can be important, but sometimes he's seen relationships work out if the two people both come together with a really, really strong desire to serve Srila Prabhupada's movement, even if their charts are, like, horrible, as long as they both, you know, desire to serve Prabhupada and go through anything together, then, but you know, how many couples actually have that? So in that case, it'll work, I guess. But thanks for giving class.
Guru Prasad was talking about example. It's important. There's another part of we're, I guess, on defense of people who do live together and want to make sure that their marriage goes right. I was thinking, certainly there are not that many examples, but on the other hand, also they have had experience, and that experience in their own family life hasn't been good. And when you don't have that experience in the family life, and if you're in a situation where you have seen your parents fighting, or you have your parents, divorce or whatever, they don't want to go through that again. And so I guess I'm trying to express a kind of sympathy towards those who do go through, who choose to do that, and why they do that, not necessarily because they don't care about what the Bhagavatam says, or, you know, I think their experience is causing them to think that let us be in a situation where our kids don't have to go through that. So it's a very touchy thing, I guess.
But they're also setting a standard that maybe their kids are also going to accept.
And that is true.
It snowballs.
It's a snowball, yeah. And so it's, I guess the key is that we have tried to have a lot of examples. However, when the experience is bad in their own situation, then it's very, very, very difficult for them to think any other way, because they don't want to repeat that.
Yeah,
it's an unfortunate thing. Situation.
Definitely, we have to point the finger at ourselves.
Yeah. We really do have to be compassionate towards those who do end up. It's an unfortunate thing, but that's the reality.
So how can we make it more fortunate? How can we iron out this fleet?
Well, it's you're going against the flow. You're. It's a difficult thing. One little thing at a time. You know, I mean, like you said, we're trying to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a lot of effort on the parent's side. A lot of effort to do it. You know, it's just a lot of effort. So I don't know I don't know the answer to those questions.
Pray a lot.
This weekend I was out preaching, and I heard a really strange comment by a woman. I guess she's married to a woman, and I was just saying, this is not moral. And she was saying, I'm so dissatisfied with men, so I thought women would be better. Then, I'm sorry to say this in public, but then she said, no, it's all the same. And I was doing Prabhupada's at wet school, dry school, the same thing. So I said, so what's the answer? And she said, well, I guess we should just work with this man-woman relationship. And I was thinking, even the karmic are having realization, that at some point...
Never satisfied.
Never satisfied, exactly. So that's what I was saying is, unless we have Krishna consciousness in the center, it's not like a material arrangement. And unless we understand that Krishna is supreme personality of God and in the world, that's the center. And these other things, we'll try to write it. So when she said that, I was just thinking, I saw a sign on the billboard, lawyer for men marriages, divorces, something, all kind of things. This world is so crazy with this.
I was just wanted to respond to what you were asking about, what Madhu Mati was saying and how that may be a compromise or whatever. But I've personally seen with Srila Prabhupada that he's taken every situation individually. And there was one situation where I was a temple president in New York City, and a lady came, her husband renounced her for a book distribution, and then about a year later married somebody else. But she was a single lady, and she wrote to Srila Prabhupada about getting married again. And Prabhupada wrote back to her, it's not an ideal situation, but it's Kali Yuga and you must be protected. So if that is what will help you
advance. I mean, and everybody was shocked. There were, you know, several sannyasis that were there, and they were advising her that this was the arrangement that Krishna has made for you, et cetera, et cetera. But Prabhupada said, no, you know, if it will help you, then what can you do? It's Kali Yuga, and you must make that arrangement. So you're right. I mean, the ideal scenario is that we do act like human society, civilized society, and there is one. You know, when one makes a commitment, that is a lifelong commitment, etc. But I think the answer in the meantime, or at least the proposal in the meantime, is that we do have a good devotee support system, a natural support system, where situations do arise. Like Madhumati was mentioning, a lot of us have come from broken homes and have seen examples that stick in your mind, and you know, how do you deal with that? You're afraid to make a commitment, and therefore they move in together until it's proven otherwise, etc. But I think, at least in the meantime, that if there can be, and you have mentioned Grihastha Vision Team and other efforts by ISKCON, noble efforts by ISKCON to educate devotees, young devotees in particular. And then I think the senior devotees that have lasted for all these years, like Madan Mohan and Kirti Raj and Balabhanta Balabi, and you know, so many devotees in the community, Guru Prasad and Madhumati, who are decades of marriage experience, that they are part of that support system, vocal support system, where they can help guide younger people how to make that proper decision and that commitment. It's the same thing, you know, similar thing when you want to get initiated. You know, how do you? Who is guru? What is guru? And you know, what guru am I inspired by? We need that kind of direction. So I think in the meantime, until we're able to build a society based on those principles, the Krishna consciousness principles, there should be that kind of support system that will help guide individually, case by case, certain situations.
I would just like to add, I appreciate what Lakshmi was saying, that I think we have to be careful because we're not yet an ideal society, although we're striving to be, that the bottom line should be is how we encourage each other in our Krishna consciousness. And I know when we talk about couples who are living together coming to Prabhupada, they were also in the mood, their intent was to surrender to Srila Prabhupada and do whatever it would take to be his disciple and to advance in Krishna consciousness, so he said, get married. But when we're seeing second generation devotees, and I think it's a tendency that I know I come with too, is that we have these expectations for our second geners that they automatically know the standard and that they automatically desire to embrace the standard and they automatically desire to surrender. But that may or may not be the case. And I think when we're seeing our second geners, our main concern should be how to encourage them in their Krishna consciousness, how to make them feel like they want to come to the temple, that they want to be part of the community, not to immediately point a finger and say, you should be married, you're living in sin, or whatever the attitude may be. I think as compassionate devotees in following the mood of Lord Chaitanya, our first concern has to be how to attract this person to Krishna consciousness. Because once they start feeling connected and desiring, then they'll want to take steps more and more how to get closer, and then those things could be introduced. But I think our main concern has to be how to encourage each other, whether peers or children, in our Krishna consciousness, because it's so difficult in Kali Yuga, as you were saying, in that state college, whatever it was called, that ashram. It's so difficult. We have to be so compassionate with each other.
I think one point thing is that to encourage everyone to become Krishna consciousness means that they should be encouraged to hear the philosophy more, because that's what will instill Krishna consciousness, the desire to become Krishna conscious. So if
the younger generation are not encouraged to really hear the philosophy, then that real internal, real desire to please Prabhupada and to become Krishna conscious, despite this or that or this or that, will not be there. So they need, everyone needs to hear. Prabhupada said everyone has to hear and chant. So this is, we should encourage them to hear and chant, because that is the real medicine for everything. I think you want to say something now, but then we'll stop again.
I have the microphone. You were asking for a solution, and I'm just thinking that the influence of the outside world is very, very strong. And just Kali Yuga, being in the material world, there's all these difficulties. But like the second generation, we see a lot of good examples among them. And I think it begins, you know, with the parents and, you know, giving them a Krishna conscious education. Like we have our, you know, Bhaktivedanta Academy, and the children are there, those children who go there, they, you know, they get a special education. And I think education has a lot to do with it. I mean, we have to instill the knowledge, you know, when they are very young, and when we have some control. Because whatever they learn during that period of time is what they will, you know, grow up, and that's the kind of information they will get. And they will act on that as they grow older. So I think it's very important for them to get the education. And, you know, just to do the basic things that Srila Prabhupada said we should do. You know, coming to the morning program, be Krishna conscious. And the children, when they grow up like that, then whatever the example of the parents or the outside world, if they are very strong and they have this education, then they wouldn't want to do like their parents did or others have done. And we've seen so many examples like that, even in our own community, of devotees who are second generation, and, you know, they really try hard to stay together and so forth, despite all the difficulties.
So. Yeah, Gurukul is definitely part of Prabhupada's program, for a reason. That's a big last one.
I like what Srila Deetcha said about encouraging the second generation. I was in New Mayapur in France this summer for the Kuli Mela, and in one seminar I really realized that our children, our second generation, they feel this guilt that they cannot live up to the standard that Prabhupada has set. And it was like I had never realized that you can grow up Catholic and have the Catholic guilt, but our kids have Krishna guilt, you know. And so if we encourage them, though, you know, temple, they don't do so many things. We have this education, but at a certain point, they're 16, are, you know, in full control, and then they're thrown out to Santa Fe Community College, they're thrown out to the university, and they're surrounded by this drinking culture. When we came here when my daughter was 13, I worried about that, because I could see we were living in Berkeley, and that didn't have this kind of culture. But here in Gainesville, it exists, and our children are affected. And I think one thing that would be helpful, just like so many years ago, the men's groups, even though I'm involved in it, I came a little later or whatever, but something that would youth more with each other, ways they have ways of coming together, would be helpful, because a person can come and, you know, it's a big, like, a grown person or a young person. So we have to think of ways to encourage. You know, I personally get so angry with the daughter, her way. So I personally learn how to do it. It's a very delicate, the razor's edge. How to keep edge, and I try to bring it to a certain standard.
Should Papa keep?